It's hard to stand alone. Let's talk about it on this edition of Key Life.
Hey, if you're into stuffing, turn off the radio now, because this is Key Life, designed to be honest, straightforward, and street smart. Here's Steve Brown with the teaching for today.
Thanks, Mike. I hope you had a great weekend, and I hope your time of worship in your church was as wonderful as was my time. I hope your pastor's sermon was as cogent and profound as my pastor's sermon was. If you guys have your Bible open into the book of Jeremiah, and you're saying, wait, I thought we finished with Jeremiah. No, we really didn't. I saw some things that I really need to share with you. Now, Jeremiah is a hard book to teach, and if you're just joining us, this is a part of a longer series, multi-month series, survey of the Old Testament. We're spending some time dipping into each of the books of the Old Testament. Now Jeremiah is a really, really hard book to teach. If it weren't for the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and my belief in verbal plenary inspiration, the entire, total, trustworthy nature of every word of Scripture, I would say, but I won't, that Jeremiah needed an editor. I mean, some of it's out of context, some of it's stuck in here, and some of it's stuck in there some other place. And so it's a hard book to teach line upon line and precept upon precept. But it is so profound. And it's so good. So I'm just kind of flip through Jeremiah, show you some things that I found that are kind of my favorites, and I'll be your tour director. Most of this week, I want to talk to you about how hard it is to stand alone. And if you have your Bible, you might want to open it to the 20th chapter of Jeremiah. We'll kind of rest there for most of this week. And then next week, I want to lift up an example from the 28th chapter of Jeremiah, of a man by the name of Hananiah, who was a false prophet. And we're going to talk about false prophets. And then I want to go to the next chapter, the 29th chapter, talk about what we as Christians are supposed to do in the community in which we serve. And then we'll move on to Lamentations, if that's okay with you. And if it's not, just deal with it. It's my program. I make these executive decisions. If you were really upset, I might change. Well, before we turn to the book, let's go before the throne. Father, as we study your word, we pray for the one who teaches. We pray that you would forgive him his sins. They call him reverend, and he's not. We would see Jesus and him only as we study the written word from the perspective of the living word. Father, you know everybody who's listening to this broadcast. You know the things that are hard, the wounds that are deep. You know it all. And so we come to you because you're sufficient. We praise you and we worship you because you're worthy of our praise and our worship. And we lift this week of broadcast before you, that you would be honored and pleased, and that the one who teaches and those who receive it would be blessed. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if you have your Bible, as I said, open it to the 20th chapter of Jeremiah. Now, we have suggested this, and we're going to kind of illustrate it this week. Jeremiah was not your big-time success, in fact. Just the opposite. He was the opposite. He was the prophet who failed. We live in a time that judges things by how big they are, how much they cost, how fast they will go. Similarly, we judge men and women by how many degrees they have, how many books they've written, how much money they make, how successful they are. As far as God is concerned, those criteria are useless. Case in point is Jeremiah. Chapter in point is Jeremiah 20. Jeremiah told God's people to repent. They refused. Jeremiah told them to stop depending on their ritual and their heritage. They said, hang it on your ear. He told them to turn from trying to make military alliances. They refused. He said that God would judge them. They laughed at him. Not only did they refuse to believe him, they made him a laughingstock. They ostracized him from their community and even tried to kill him. Now, the 20th chapter of Jeremiah is interesting because it represents in a condensed form what I've been telling you and that you'll find throughout the book of Jeremiah. Now, let me take just a moment and put it into some kind of perspective. God gave Jeremiah two signs. The first sign was when God sent Jeremiah down to the potter's house, and he told Jeremiah to watch the potter as he made his pots. God told Jeremiah, tell the people of Israel, just as the potter created a vessel to his own liking, if you don't change, I will destroy you as the potter destroys a pot that doesn't fit his specifications. Now, the second sign that God gave Jeremiah was the sign of the broken vessel. God told Jeremiah to take a piece of clay to one of the gates and proclaim judgment on the people and then to break it to pieces. Thus says the Lord, proclaimed Jeremiah, just so I will break you to pieces for your many sins. Now, can we talk? That's not the kind of sermon you want God to give you if you're a pastor and you have to preach it on Sunday morning. Now, I've been there. I was a pastor for more years than I care to count. And I taught through books of the Bible, and I'd get to a certain chapter or a certain paragraph, and I'd say, Lord, could we skip this? Because people are not going to be happy when I teach this. And I think he said, keep on trucking. Well, he said it in Hebrew, but people knew what the next paragraph was going to be, and I had to teach it, and sometimes those were not popular sermons. So Jeremiah was given a message that wasn't popular. The priest, the son of Emir, was the chief officer of the temple. And he had Jeremiah arrested, put him in stocks, and he was flogged. Now, one would think that Jeremiah would shut up, but he didn't. Let's look at verses 3 through 6 of the 20th chapter of Jeremiah. For thus says the Lord, this is Jeremiah, behold, I will make you a terror to yourself and to all your friends, and they shall fall by the sword of their enemies, and your eyes shall see it. I will give all Judah into the hand of Babylon, and he shall carry them captive to Babylon and slay them with the sword. I don't believe I'd have said that. Moreover, I will deliver all the wealth of the city, all its produce and all its precious things, and all the treasures of the kings of Judah I will give into the hand of their enemies, who will plunder them, seize them, and carry them to Babylon. And as for you, Pashur, and all who dwell in your house shall go into captivity, you shall go to Babylon, and there you shall die, and be buried there, and all your friends to whom you have prophesied lies. Don't believe I said that. I mean, he's got me in jail, he's doing bad things to me, and yet that is the message of Jeremiah. Now, let me draw from this 20th chapter some things that we ought to consider. And I'm not going to give you verses, but I'm going to trust that you will read the entirety of the 20th chapter of Jeremiah before you rest your head on your pillow tonight before you go to bed. Now, the first thing you need to know is the honesty of Scripture. You know one of my pet peeves? It's the way we talk to pagans about coming to Jesus. You want to be happy? Come to Jesus. You want to be healed of your diseases? Come to Jesus. You want to tiptoe through the tulips? Come to Jesus. You want everything to work right in your life? Come to Jesus. Folks, we got to stop that. That's not true. And it's really not true. And the great thing about Scripture is that Scripture never says anything like that. Jeremiah is in real trouble. He speaks God's message, it's hard, and he gets into more trouble. That happens all the time. You've heard me say it a lot of times. I'm going to say it again, and probably will say it over and over again into the future. It's this. Every time a pagan gets cancer, I believe a Christian gets cancer, so the world can see the difference. I get letters from guys whose businesses have gone down the tube. Let me tell you something. Every time a pagan business goes down the tube, a Christian business goes down the tube. So that people will see the difference. Every time there's a marriage problem with a pagan, there's a marriage problem with a Christian, so that the world can see the difference. We're here for them. And everything's not going to work out the way you want it to. And if you think it is, you've overlooked something. The truth is, we live in a fallen world, and we're not home yet. Now, Jesus promised three things. First, he promised that you would get into trouble. You say, Steve, I don't want to hear this. Secondly, he promised he would never leave you. Well, that's better. Then thirdly, he promised that you would have incredible joy, that in the midst of the tears, you would laugh the laughter of the redeemed. You can't trade that for money. I mean, that's worse. That's worth anything. But don't buy into this stuff that everything's going to be perfect and everything's going to work out just the way you want it to work out if you become a Christian. It's not true. So let's stop telling people that. Let's tell them that Jesus loves them a lot. Let's tell them that God won't be angry at them if they come to him. But let's don't tell them that everything will be fine, because it won't sometimes. And some of you have been sitting around thinking, I thought I was a Christian. Why is this happening to me? Is God angry at me? No. And I just told you what was happening. You think about that. Amen. Hey, listen, if you're not a part of our Key Life Tate family, I'd love for you to be a part of it. Let me tell you how it works. Just give us a call at 1-800-KEY-LIFE, or you write Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794, or Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5M3, or you email us, steve@keylife.org, with your regular mailing address, and you ask to be a part of Key Life Tate, we're going to do it for you. Every 7 or 8 weeks, you're going to get a free tape, and they're going to keep coming as long as you want them, as long as supplies last and funds permit. And these are not the tapes of the broadcast. You can subscribe to those, and if you ask us, we'll tell you how. These are places where I teach the Bible generally at the Chapel of Reformed Theological Seminary, at the Billy Graham Training Center, at a missions conference, and we send those out to our Key Life Tape family. So let us know if you'd like to be a part of it. And when I say they're free, I really mean that. But if you could help us financially, oh man, would I appreciate it. Pray about it. If you can, be as generous as you can. You can include contribution in your envelope, charge it on MasterCard, Visa, Discover card. For any contribution of any size, I'll send you the cassette, How to Know That You Know Him. Include the call letters of this great station. Oh, yeah. Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.